The following content may be distressing. Listener discretion is advised. If you need to, contact Lifeline on 13 11 14.
Emotional abuse. It can be hard for some to fathom that a seemingly loving parent could submit their child to such torment. And yet, sadly, this silent form of abuse is prevalent in society, and because of its subtleness enacted by people who are master manipulators, it can largely go unnoticed to an outside observer, let alone other members of the family, even to the child who's being subjected to it, because that's the only normal they know. The effects of the abuse will continue into the child's adult life and have bearing on the choices they make. Belinda Beaumont is a counsellor at Kids Helpline, a free, private and confidential 24/7 phone and online counselling service who has been helping Aussie kids for nearly 30 years now with over 8 million contacts. And one of them, when I needed it, was me. Belinda, firstly, thank you so much for what you do. Your service and your team of around 130 is invaluable. So we're all very appreciative of your time today. Parents and caregivers, they're human, which means they have flaws, but some have deeper psychological issues that end up affecting how they treat their children. Children often lack perspective to be able to identify the abusive elements of their emotional relationship with their parents. It's only in adulthood that they become more able to detect them. You can't go back in time and change the way your parent behaved, but if you have a strained relationship with your parents and think that that may be a result of their actions, you may find yourself working backwards to find out why. Could you give us an understanding of emotional abuse of children by parents, please?
Absolutely. And thank you, Emma, for having this conversation. I think you really have the potential to change so many young people's lives and families' lives, not only now but in the future. And when we're talking about emotional abuse, it's often referred to as verbal abuse or psychological abuse as well. And it's one of the most prevalent forms of abuse that's out there. And it's just as serious, if not more serious, than other forms of abuse as well. So emotional abuse, and this is how we describe it to young people, is it's any behaviour perpetrated by parents that make young people feel scared, worthless, or alone. Now, all kids have the right to be treated with love and care and to feel safe. And when that doesn't happen, it's really important they get some help and support. Emotional abuse takes many forms. It can include ignoring or rejecting a child, withholding love from that young person, exposing a young person to domestic and family violence, making a young child feel different from other family members, making them feel like a scapegoat, constantly putting them down or ridiculing them, making them feel different. And it can also be something like corrupting a child in terms of exposing them to things they shouldn't have to see or to witness.
So abuse, for example, when I was younger, my mother used to open the car door while Dad was driving and threatened to jump out if she didn't get her way, no matter what it was. So, you know, we've got to go to Blarfest and then we go there. No. And so my brother and I used to see, you know, the horror of that sort of stuff a lot. And gaslighting as well. That's another tactic that a parent will use against a child or even adults against one another. Could you explain the term, please?
Yes, gaslighting is a common experience of people who've been through emotional abuse, whether it's as a child or as a grown-up in an emotionally abusive relationship. And what it is when someone makes you feel like you're crazy or that you're making this stuff up in your head, that it's not really happening, when it actually really is. And it does really make people question their sense of selves as well as the sense of their own sanity, that sort of thing. And what you were describing before in terms of what was happening in the car, that use of fear as well to control other people and to control their behaviour can be really common and really damaging.
Absolutely. And along the same lines of gaslighting, as something that is, I guess, prevalent when it comes to emotional abuse and people that malignant narcissists that take on these traits, reactive abuse, it's something that these sorts of people rely on because it's a shift of blame of the abuse onto the victim. So the abuser will claim that the victim is the abuser because of the reaction after, you know, being poked, you know, the bears, so to speak. The abuser may even attempt to convince the victim that there's nothing worth reacting over and that they're just an overreactor in themselves. So I'll give an example. When I was a child, when I got my first boyfriend, which was a family friend, everyone knew them and that he was a good guy, my mother disapproved and she flew into a huge rage about it. But because everybody else was okay, she had to do what she could. But this was her first attempt, well, the first real strong evidence that she was losing her grip on me. And she saw me one day messaging him on the computer. She pushed me off the seat. So for years I'd been, you know, beaten. My dad had been beaten, all that sort of stuff. And this was the first time that I fought back. So my brother, who you use the term scapegoat, which is something that I've been told by professionals like yourself, you have the abuser, in my case, the mother, the enabler, in my case, the father, and the golden child, in my case, the brother. He had never seen this before. He was always well looked after. And so they all came in and, you know, tried to, like, break us up. And that instance was used by my mother, you know, like, who is this? Or what's this crazy? You know, I ruined the family from that day on and solidified in my brother's mind that, you know, I'm the black sheep, and strengthened his desire in helping my mother continue to, you know, slowly destroy self-esteem and any, you know, chance of leading a normal life. So I went out, asked family, friends for help. They don't want anything to do with my mom. And then that's when I came to call you guys. Desperate, you know, to end the suffering. So I got the phone wrenched out of my hands, and unfortunately one of your counsellors got quite the scream down the phone. And, yeah, it got pretty bad from there. But I eventually got out because I found the right people to talk to about it. So this reactive abuse, especially for younger children, like that happened to me when I was a teenager. So I was getting to the point where I could get away. But younger, again, if they snap before then, it'd be very hard for them to be able to articulate to someone like yourself, even their counsellor, that they it could be very easily seen by one of your counsellors there that the child is the problem.
Absolutely. And I think for anyone who is witnessing this sort of abuse, like it's very easy for another adult or another person in someone's life to think, well, that family's just having a bad day, or the parents just having a bad day, or that this is just reactive to a particular situation, when they don't know what's been going on behind the scenes for a really long time, and how pervasive this sort of abuse can be. And I think for young people, especially young kids, they don't know any different.
No.
And so they're just, you're brought up to believe that your parents know everything, they are your everything, they're your sun and your moon, and they're your safe place and the people who are supposed to love you and protect you more than anyone in the world. And if they continue to treat you in a certain way, you just assume that's normal. And for a lot of young people I know who contact Kids Helpline, it's not until maybe they get a bit older and maybe they go to friends' houses and see what other parents are like, or they go to school and someone talks about this sort of stuff, that something shifts and they start to realise, okay, maybe this isn't right, maybe this isn't normal, maybe other kids don't feel this sense of worthlessness or shame when it comes to their family, or maybe these other kids don't feel a lack of connection with their parents. And maybe they don't get yelled at and treated the way that I do, and they start to reach out for help.
Yeah, and maybe you have a sibling that is treated well, while you would know as a professional they're probably being abused themselves, but they're being groomed in a manner, you know, as we use the term the golden child, to do the mother's bidding. Another example I can give to give the audience listening now a perspective is when I went to school, because I was a happy, bubbly child and my mother didn't like that at all, and confident. And I would get invited to, you know, parties, and the school, you know, would have blah, blah's birthday party. Would you like to come at 3:30? We're going to have a little blah, 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 you know, like a McDonald's party or something like that. My mother never wanted me to go because my brother couldn't go. And in her mind, she wanted to be quote unquote fair. So because of the pressure, you know, why can't this child go? She had to have me go. And so then when I came home, my punishment was that I'd have to watch my brother. She put on a party and he'd eat cake and he'd in my face. And that was the beginnings of what she did for years and years to separate us from each other, and I guess instill in his mind that, you know, I'm something to, I guess, trot on.
And that's really awful. And I think when you talk about a situation where there is something, a child who might be referred to as the golden child, I mean, they may have no idea what's going on. They may also think that this is normal, or they may also be doing their best just to cope and to survive in a family where there is this dysfunction. And the example that you gave of not being allowed to go to things that other people can, that can be another symptom or a sign of emotional abuse that often gets missed because it can seem as though a parent is just being protective when really their motivation might be quite different. And that can be really hard to assess as well.
Another one, when I got older and I had to, you know, wear different clothes, my mother wouldn't let me go to the change rooms because she said only adults go. I'm like, it'd change every day. It'd be that she can't bring my brother in. Perverts are in change rooms, this, that, the other. So I'd have to get changed in the aisles in Big W, which is really embarrassing when your friend from school walks past and they see you in your underwear, but she didn't care. And she enjoyed that. And if I arced up in any way, that was the validating, you know, the reactive abuse. What is wrong with you? Why, you know, you should just do whatever I say. You're lucky to have clothes, that sort of thing.
And that use of humiliation is such a dangerous method of abuse, because what does that do to a young person's sense of self, sense of self-worth, and who they are in society and how they value themselves, and in turn how they see themselves in future relationships, that sort of thing. It's really awful.
Absolutely. So, for myself, it took many years, past my 20s, where, you know, I tried very much so. My father was always like, if you just be nice, and I'd done it. And there's nothing that I could do to make this person happy. But I love my dad, and I could see he was, you know, being abused himself. And I wanted what he wanted, which was to make everyone happy, but wasn't fathoming, because I never heard of the term emotional abuse. It wasn't a big deal a few years back. One day I was just so miserable and so sick of every single day just getting beaten down, and anything that I wanted to do, you'll never get there. You'll never achieve. You'll never be a radio, you know, you'll never do all these sorts of stuff, that I thought about throwing myself in front of the train. And that was the only time that when I called my dad, I'm like, this is how I feel. The only time that he stuck up for me. But parents...
Which is such a tragedy to think that things had to go to that point.
Absolutely.
And you had to be pushed that far before someone finally decided to step up and do something.
Yeah. And my brother called me a drama queen for it. So it's hard for a child to realise that something is wrong. They don't understand, as we discussed, why, you know, they can never make their emotional abuser happy. Is there some signs that a child might be able to identify with that may give them let's call it word tools, to go see their counsellor to make them understand and not automatically take the parent's side? Something that maybe if you have an aunt or an uncle or a grandparent says, like, wait a minute, my daughter-in-law, like, I don't think it's right. Can I sit down with my granddaughter and say, you know, say, for example, Emma, when this happens, how do you feel? Or, you know, this, that, the other, to be able to get the tools to be able to give them to yourselves to save time. And maybe it's hard because you can't just wrench kids out of, you know, a family situation. That's the last thing that anyone wants to do. But the ranges of abuse, you know, an adult life, I know many people that have had the same sort of similar lives are not, you know, in a good place right now, if they're even still here at my age. Is there something... that the child may be listening now, or even, as I said, an adult, can use as signs or steps that they can get the right information out of you guys and at least find some sort of balance while they have to be in the vicinity of their parents?
Yeah.
Without exacerbating the issue.
Yeah. So for a young person or a child who's listening, you might notice some feelings in yourself, like feeling worried all the time, or feeling guilty or angry and confused. You know, lots of people experience these feelings all the time, like, you know, often, but if you're experiencing them all the time and they won't shift and it's stopping you from doing the things that you want to be able to do in your life, then it's really important that you talk to someone. If you're always in fear of doing something wrong or upsetting someone, particularly the person who you think might be abusive in your life, that could be a sign. If you find yourself feeling sad or lonely, or if you feel like sometimes hurting yourself, and that may not be about wanting to take your life, but it might be about wanting to find a way to escape those really strong, those overwhelming thoughts and feelings, that could be a sign. You might also notice that, you know, for some kids, their personality could be, you know, from one end of the continuum where they're really passive and really wanting to be people pleasers and wanting to make other people happy, to all the way through to being quite aggressive. So any, if you're sort of finding yourself at the extreme of that continuum, either end, that might also be a sign that things aren't okay. And it doesn't matter how big the problem is, how big or small you think it might be, it's always important, and everyone can be helped by talking about stuff that's going on in their lives. So I just really encourage young people to reach out and talk to someone, whether it's someone that you feel like you can trust, like a teacher or the school counsellor or an aunt or an uncle, or calling one of the counsellors at Kids Helpline. It's really important that you're heard. It's really important that someone listens to you and that you feel believed.
Yeah, and that's the key. Worrying that it's only going to exacerbate the issue because mum and dad will find out. And, you know, there's nothing worse for a narcissist to have, you know, the, let's call it the curtain pulled back on them, so to speak. Mm. They're master manipulators, so they're going to pull all the stops to make it look like they've got an unruly child and the child, it's all the child's fault. But if you speak to the right people and give them the right information, they can really send you on a good path, like myself.
Mm, absolutely. And that's probably one of the biggest things that holds kids back from talking. It's, well, first of all, it's, will someone believe me, particularly when it's something like emotional abuse, when they're not sure whether it actually qualifies as abuse or not, when we know it does. Mm. The second thing is being worried about, is this going to make things worse?
Yeah.
Are mum or dad going to find out that I told someone? And if they do find out, what are they going to do? Are they going to get angry? Or if we told someone who's an authority figure, does that mean the family's going to get broken up? Does that mean I'm going to be taken away from my brother or sister or that sort of... And those fears are real and understandable, but you also need to know that the last thing that anyone wants to do is to break up families or make things worse. And when you talk to someone like a counsellor at Kids Helpline, we really understand those fears and concerns and make sure that we only do things that are in a young person's best interests. We don't want to make things worse at all. We're here to help.
And for the young adults listening now, under 25, or even if someone's older, yeah, and more than welcome to listen to this podcast, as they would know, can the parent be helped? You started with talking about young adults because the children, you know, they at a point where, you know, they probably can't differentiate between what's happening because this is their norm. But a young adult coming out and those feelings, like you said, you're like, wait a minute, this isn't right. Why is this, you know, still going on? And I'm so much more involved in the world to be able to see that my personal life is far different to everybody else. For example, like myself, my father being an enabler, it's not good that he sat back and and watched until it got to a critical point, and then that was, you know, the only one time he actually stood up for me, and fleeting as it was. Can someone like himself be helped, or my brother, who in his own little way is being abused and doesn't realise it? Can my mother, being the abuser, people like that, I know they can only be helped if they ask for it, but is there, I guess, as you said, and we've spoken about many a times in this podcast, every child or every, you know, they want to be loved, and you definitely want your parent to be happy, and they're not happy themselves, which is why they're behaving in this way. Is there something you can do, or some advice, general advice that you can give? Can they be helped?
Absolutely, they can be helped. Just as someone who's experienced abuse themselves with the right support and help can prevent perpetuating that abuse, someone who has perpetrated abuse or might have been subjected to intergenerational abuse, they can also be helped. Like you said, people need to want to be helped, but it definitely is possible. In terms of, say, if you're another adult and you notice something happening in your family, or you notice a parent who's being emotionally abusive, like we were talking about before, it's really important that you tread carefully around this and not necessarily approach the abuser or make any accusations yourself, that sort of thing, because you don't want to make things worse. But there are things that you can do, and there are people you can talk to, whether that's through a service like Parentline or making a report to Child Protective Services in your state. There are people who are there to help and to help these parents, because like you said, no one wants to feel like this or to be this sort of person. And often, I mean, there can be so many different reasons why someone perpetrates abuse, and it might be because that's what their parents did to them, and so they just think it's normal. It could be because they have mental health issues themselves, personality disorders, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It could be a result of drug and alcohol issues, or there are just so many different reasons, but there's always the opportunity of change. People can change and live better lives and do better and have better relationships in their family. But unfortunately, for children, whether it's young children or older children, what you need to remember, though, is you can't make anyone change. They need to want to do it for themselves. So that's not your responsibility to make someone else change. All you can do is focus on yourself, get the help that you need for yourself, and hopefully through role modelling that sort of appropriate health-seeking behaviour, that parent or the abuser will be inspired to get help for themselves as well.
Mm-hmm. But if you have to cut ties, you may have to cut ties or limit, I guess, the conversations that you have. When they start up, then you just hang up, that sort of thing.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the taboos in society, that no one talks about cutting ties with family members, that sort of thing. We always talk about unconditional love and that blood thicker than water. But there are times where you really need to put your own safety, whether that's physical safety or emotional or psychological safety first, and do what's right for you. But again, that's the sort of thing that people need to, I guess, figure out through their own work.
Yeah, and these young adults, when they start relationships themselves, they may still find themselves following this pattern of abuse because dysfunction is their normal.
Yeah.
What advice can you give them? Well, I would like to say that I'm in a peaceful position now. It's not great, Christmases and Mother's Day and Father's Day, where you see people, when they're seemingly perfect families, and you wish I was such a good guy. I just wanted to be loved and I did all the right things and it wasn't enough. For someone then that finds themselves dating a version of one of their parents in that abuser regard, is there something that they can do to help themselves?
Look, it's so hard because often these romantic relationships can start off quite loving, beautiful, romantic, regular seeming relationships where this person said, you don't notice straight away. If it was as obvious as it is further down the track or in hindsight, that you'd never find yourself in these situations. But it's insidious and it can happen over time. And it can take a lot of work over the years to sort of figure out how to spot an abusive relationship or how to identify particular behaviours or actions in a partner that might give you the tip off that something's not okay. And it's also about building your sense of self and your self-worth and what you deserve in a relationship and coming up with your own boundaries on what's okay and not okay. But either way, it can happen to anyone, unfortunately, because a lot of the perpetrators of that sort of abuse in romantic relationships, they're very good at what they do. They've had years to develop these ways of infiltrating someone's life and controlling and being quite coercive, that sort of thing. So the best thing you can do is not to blame yourself for what's happened and just to keep getting help.
Yes, but the hope is, I guess, the key to the conversation today, that no matter whether you're a child and you can't just, like an adult in an abusive relationship, that's it, I'm packing my bags and I'm leaving. It's a lot harder to leave when you're
Absolutely.
Under 10 or something like that. And
right.
And getting the help from grandma and grandpa could be impossible. But there is hope.
For kids, often they don't have the resources to leave a relationship, whether that's the emotional and psychological resources to, or whether that's about being able to support themselves financially, to put a roof over their head, to be able to feed themselves. They may not have those or may not be able to see those options ahead of them. So it makes it really difficult. I remember I was working with one young person who was an adult that was talking about the abuse that she experienced as a child. And she had one parent who was extremely physically abusive and another parent who was extremely emotionally abusive and quite neglectful. And we talked about the parents separated, and we talked about her experiences with both parents. And I remember in one call she described saying that if she had had to choose between each parent, she actually would have chosen the parent who was physically abusive, because at least she felt that they cared enough to give her some attention. And I think that just represents how dangerous and how awful this sort of abuse can be.
It's absolutely heartbreaking.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, again, thank you for what you and your team do and for helping someone like myself, because at least that very short amount of time on the phone gave me the validation that, you know, something is wrong. I may not have anyone around me right now, but don't give up. I can be, you know, like my friends and those people that you see on TV that seem happy. And I had the drive to seek it out. So I thank you for what you do and all those other people out there that may be silent in regards to their gratitude for what you do.
Oh, and thank you for having the courage to reach out as well. Like, we as counsellors, we don't take it for granted that young people are taking it upon themselves to actually pick up the phone and reach out and talk to a stranger, someone they don't know, that they don't trust yet, where they don't know what's going to happen. And they allow themselves to be vulnerable and they create this safe space for the counsellor. So I really appreciate that, and the fact that you're talking about this, so hopefully other young people feel encouraged to do the same and get some help.
Yeah, I truly hope so. Is there anything extra you can leave us with?
I guess it's just to remind young people that it's never okay for someone to make you feel bad about yourself or lesser than other people, or to make you feel hurt on the inside. And if you're not sure, if something doesn't feel right, and if you're not sure, and if you're not ready yet to take that step and to talk to someone, because that is a really big deal, that can be so hard to do.
That then makes reach it out. Real if you
oh,
talk.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Hop onto the Kids Helpline website and read some of the tip sheets to get a better understanding of what the different forms of abuse are. There's also another website called www.woah, which is what's okay at home.org.au, which gives a really good age-appropriate rundown of the different forms of abuse, because like we were talking about before, lots of young people don't even realise that what they're experiencing is emotional abuse until it's pointed out, or until they read something or see something and it resonates with them. And it's really important they feel believed.
It can be hard, even getting people to understand the importance of having this conversation to get this podcast off the ground. There's some people out there that see it as not a big deal.
We really need a cultural shift around what's okay. And I think a lot of kids have that. It's almost like their parents' voice is a tape in their head telling them to just get over it, or don't be a sook, or it's not that bad, or that sort of thing. So we're combating that as well. We're not only trying to build trust with a young person, we're trying to combat some of that negative self-talk or the parent tapes they've got running in their head, and that's really tricky to do. And that's honestly, it's someone's life's work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you're a kid, like we were saying, you don't know any better. I know I was talking to a young girl, probably 13, and her mum in the background came into the room, really emotionally abusive, neglectful mum, was encouraging, while she's on the phone to me, to smoke pot. And to her friends, that probably would have seemed really cool and like she has this awesome mum. But that's sort of like, that's not normal.
No.
But often for these kids, they don't realise that's not normal. And sometimes at first when you try to explain that, they think, oh, you're just a softie, you know, you do too much of this sort of stuff, and they're really dismissive. So it's really important that they get how serious this is. It's one of those things that people don't even consider to be abuse. But it actually is, because it's putting someone in, and it's like sexual abuse, where it's like something in that person's body, whether it's a funny feeling in their tummy, tells them this isn't right.
Yeah.
This shouldn't be happening. I don't understand what's going on. It's confusing. And it is a form of abuse.
Yeah, it is. And it's really sad. And I just hope that there's more people out there that get help and just hear, however it is, if it's just like me, where the term emotional abuse is the only thing that struck me down. Everything else, it didn't matter how many times my ex did all these horrible things, or my father, you know, like watching my brother would like bash at me because that's what my mother did, you know, and then because of that one time he saw me fight back, so I'm a psychopath basically in his mind, and so then he would just go to hurt me, and yeah, I just threatened that I would I'd tell the police, and the next time I'm doing it. And I haven't spoken to my father, any of them, for nearly a year. I told him I'm never speaking to her again. I'm done, because she's crazy.
And even telling kids, do you know you can call the police. First of all, it can be a revelation where they're like, well, I can call the police. But then actually getting someone to do that, that's a huge step as well, because it can feel so overwhelming and scary and what's going to happen. But it's really important for kids to know that too, that they can call the police if they're feeling unsafe at home.
That was episode 3 of the second series of Emotional Abuse, A Conversation, chatting with Belinda Beaumont, who was a counsellor at Kids Helpline. This episode discussed emotional abuse when it comes from family members. To hear the rest of this series and Series 1, which delves into emotionally abusive romantic relationships, Google Emotional Abuse, A Conversation, or check out both series on iTunes.